more, you have to learn how to love more. You know what happens after you have a love relationship for a while? You have to be careful you don't love yourself more than you love your relationship. It's always a struggle. Hallelujah. To love by faith. And so, but you need focus. You need a dream. You need that, which is set before us. And glory to God. You know, we had Joseph. Do you know if Joseph hadn't been put in the king's prison, he had never prophesied to the king? You know, he wasn't put in any prison. He's put in the king's prison. Means where the king's servants who were either disobedient or whatever were put into a special prison. And they probably got a little special judgment as well. He was put in the king's prison. Run from Potiphar. Married a wife of the priest of Potiphar. It's a little bit different. It's a totally different pronunciation. I don't have it before me, so I can't tell you exactly. It's spelled the same in the English, except for it's got a little ending on it. To become a savior. To Egypt? Pharaohs? Can you believe that? Because I know we don't like to think about this, but Joseph was also a Pharaoh. Well, not by birthright, but by in authority. He had the Pharaoh's ring. All authority of Egypt was given to Joseph. Come on, beloved. See, as soon as we realize that we are a body, that we are a part of the anointed, the Christ, and that Jesus' head will be placed upon us, and he sure will look different being Jesus with a body or a body of people. God will never change. God's spirit will never change. But we still don't know what all that consists of. Yet, we're learning. As he allows us, our intelligence to rise up to that standard of understanding. And then we have to then go to application or wisdom. And how do we apply these particular elements to each particular case so that God shows up and the full blessing is obtained? I was thinking, and I'll get into the message, and we're going to have communion, so I'm going to be as kind of brief as I can, but I get thinking about the church. You know, I can't stop thinking about the church. Now, I'm not talking about just any church. I'm talking about the church as a whole. And how that, in Reformation and that, you know, well, we always want to go come to some place that we never experienced. We got the first day, the second day, and the third day, and all of them say, well, you know, we're at the third day, so what do you do with the first and the second day? Well, it's of a lesser order. If you're at the third day, well, no, you can't even get to the third day until you do the first and the second principles. So they're not lesser. Or they're not to be minified. Or they're not to... It's not for you to think that they aren't important or an active ingredient to man's salvation. And so we're always brought back to the principles of repentance. I remember when, you see, I was privileged enough to come out of the Methodist that actually brought the Holy Ghost into the Protestant churches. Tell me the truth. No. And what was happening here is repentance. They knew that. Hallelujah. And so there was a call for repentance. And in the call for repentance came another blessing. Because it was so great, and there was such a cry for repentance. Hallelujah. Because that's where we have to go every time. Not above repentance. That in the very atmosphere of this repentance came an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And God's Spirit fell on people. Something you couldn't see. Something that you couldn't understand. Mighty God, are you listening to the word of the Lord? Hallelujah. Because my heart, hallelujah, is rejoicing because we have the answer. But we must not forget that every part is just as important, and none will be able to rise above its importance. But every part has to be effectually known in your life to take and bring you to a point where you are fully sold out to God, where there's nothing, hallelujah, in you that could possess that in and of itself. That you actually become a living possession, hallelujah, of who He is. And because of these first principles, you now, hallelujah, are beginning to hear Him in different ways. Ways now you can have an answer to your situations. You can have an answer for the cry of people that are out around you and in your sphere. And your evaluation of your spiritual development has nothing to do with this omnipotent God that lives inside of you, that is still not restricted to your limitations. And He wants to come out in full power as you speak the word by faith, knowing it's not you that produces it. It's the same Spirit of God that lives inside of you that comes and touches a broken vessel of sorts, or a confused mind of sorts, or a broken body of sorts. Hallelujah. Where it's not about you, and it's not about how much you've developed, and it's not about your position of sons or daughters. It's not about none of that. It's about Him. Hallelujah. Because in all of your beauty, in all of your intelligence, you're very insignificant without Him. I am. For my heart reaches so far beyond my abilities. My cry reaches so astronomically, hallelujah, into a world affair. My God, how do you put that in something that just lives and breathes and moves? Hallelujah. Has some intelligence. How do you put that in that? I don't know, but I know that together as a body, as we begin to stand as one, stop trying to fight for position and know that position is given by God, and now stand in your position. Hallelujah. And as you do, glory to God, don't pray with your insignificant, with your yet unperfect place. Hallelujah. Because Paul says in Philippians, I'm between these two. When you see things that are so far beyond you. Not in a bad way, but in a good way. He is going to do this. And I know some of your potentials. I do. And I know how great they are. And I'm looking. I'm pleased with this. It's a burden on me. I don't want you to come under that, because you've got to really have some stuff in you. You cannot just look at the world the way it is and carry this. We're going to see it happen, beloved. As sure as you're here, and if I'm doing anything, if I'm trying to do anything, is to let you know that you have eternal life now. Right now. In your body. And you've had it. Ever since you asked Jesus in your heart. At that very moment of repentance, eternal life took its abode in you because you asked Him to come in. And in a relationship of marriage, it takes time. And then He says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And marriage begins to take place, because it doesn't make any difference what element we are in life-giving properties. We'll always be challenged beyond our means, no matter where we are or who we are. And answers will always come from somewhere, from someone, as you honestly seek for them. And it's no less God coming to your need. No less God. Hallelujah. And so I want you to just be confident in that. So if we pull up the PowerPoint here, and I'm going to be moving on to not out of this yet. It's become such a wonderful thing that I pray that you're catching it. And when shall the righteous shine forth like the sun? And I believe that we're answering that in these different dimensions there. Give me the next slide, and I'll just go from there. And so we find out that it's going to take a work of the Lord. It's going to take us having to wash our hands. That means we're going to get dirty and stuff like that. So it's going to take a cleansing, and we know that the washing of the Word is the ingredient one. And so we know there's much that takes place in that. And then because of that, we have to add to our faith, because we're always coming to a place where there's a need that's beyond us, no matter what it might be. Whether it's physical, or whether it's family, or whether it's somebody else, or whatever, it's always going to be more than you can do. And so we have to add, then there's an addition. We have to add to our faith. So the reason for that is because we live by faith. If we don't, we are hopeless. If we don't, we come to a place where there is an end. And there is not an answer. But that's not where we live. Because we're God's people. Because He's always... He's dependent on us to be Him on the earth. But that doesn't mean that if we don't respond, that He's not going to use somebody else. Listen, all of Israel in the time of Joseph missed the mark. Not one of them could hear. Not Daddy. Nobody could hear God. But Joseph. because God's never intended for them to ever not be a nation. And He will keep them as a nation, no matter what anybody says. Hallelujah. Okay, so we have to add to our faith, and that's what we do. That's what we're doing. And then it's to be diligent. In other words, do what you know what to do. Do it. And where you're gifted, reach out past your little comfort zone. You ever set into a group of let's say, just friends and that, and a problem comes up and you got the answer? But you're not addressed? What do you do with that? Nothing. Why not? I don't mean to be disruptive. I don't mean to be disreverent or anything like that. You know, I don't know, but I'm not sure I understand what you're saying. Could you say that again? Can it be that simple? It is that simple. You're the messenger. So then you give it. How they take it's not up to you. Sometimes we beat ourselves up because, well, maybe I could have explained it just a little bit better, and we start second guessing ourselves. But no, you don't have to do that. You're not the one that has to address the issue you have. They are. So they may need other properties of intelligence or whatever it might be. Maybe it's just something. Maybe just something material, just something physical, something simple to you, but just wasn't overlooked. I mean, many times I've went on a project, and I mean, we have to step away and get away from it for a while. You ever have that happen? Come on, engineers. And we just have to say, okay, for some reason I went over something. I just went too fast. I went over it, and so I got to take a break. I just got to. Let everything go out of there. Come back fresh and do it again. Start from scratch. And it will not be long until you realize that what you overlooked was right before you. It's not that you didn't know it. It's that you didn't think that could happen with that. Never happened before. And so, see, so doing diligence is not coming to conclusions that it can't be done. It's stepping back, maybe talking to one another, maybe calling up and saying, hey, you know, I just want you to pray. And, you know, and when you, and not to, you know, come on, let's just pray for one another. And sometimes it's good if you don't address the issue. Just say, let's pray. And then what happens? Something really wonderful happens. Colin says, man, God answered prayer. And so you praise the Lord together. That's being diligent. And then purifying himself. So once again, we cleanse ourselves. How do we cleanse ourselves? Through the washing of the word. But how do you purify yourself? I'm going to just give you a quick interpretation because I want to move on that. That means you just obey and do what you've been told to do in the scriptures. Just start walking in it. And now, see, now you washed yourself. Now walk clean before Him. Walk in His word now. See, now you're purifying. Okay, let's go to the next one. And then, they that be wise, and this is where we've been, and this is really, He's got my heart. My Redeemer liveth, and we went through these. And Job said that, but he said it after, he actually made a statement by God giving him all those years, them added years, and I get a kick out of Doc. He said, were you here when he was here? And do you hear what he said? He went to Job 42. Do you remember that? No, I didn't. Well, I did. because God spoke to him while he was driving. And he's a unique man, I'm telling you. He's a well-seasoned man of God. And it was after all these things, he lived another 142 years. Or 140, whatever. I think it was 142, but you know, whatever. But he lived twice as long after. And that did something for him because, you see, he's so adamant on living this out in the flesh. Well, praise God. We're going to have to do that. Now, that's not my ultimate goal. My ultimate goal, that's his business, is that you might know and that I'm living in an eternal life, purpose, and dimension now, even while I'm still dying in the body. That may surprise some of you. And Ezekiel talks about the dry bones. And these dry bones, see, you know what dry bones are? You're retired. You're done. Come on, everybody. Come on alive. Because I'm retired now. Come on, wake up. What are you doing? Daydreaming? Come on, wake up. You know what you like to do when you're retired? Honey, I'll have a cup of coffee. Triple cream, if you would, please. You know what my wife does? Here you go, honey. Every morning. Don't you? I know. I love it. But we don't stay there. Then we usually go for a 4-mile walk. Could I be doing other things? Yeah. Could she? Yeah. But it helps us physical. So we're just doing some things physical just to, you know, to take these dry bones. Strengthen them with muscle, you know. Just not to go and pump iron and do all the crazy stuff at the gym and have everybody, oh, this is what I do. No. That's all right if you can. I mean, that's good. Are you catching it? Speak to your dry bones. Now, we're talking here in Ezekiel about spiritual things, but hallelujah. It's got a good representation. And I've been on this for a month. And he said, Dane, when are you going to get off it? Well, I'm trying to. I really am. I thought I was. But I keep looking at these references, and I cannot just let it go yet. Because this is going to lead us right into communion. So I'm going to give you just a few minutes of eternal life. Do you know that you have eternal life? Okay. Hallelujah. Even though you're dying in the body? Huh? Please, you need to know that. You need to know that eternal life is a spiritual thing that will eventually take over the body. Sometimes the body's dead and in the grave. Doesn't stop eternal life from working. It has a purpose. Eternal life has a purpose. It's what it says it is. It's life everlasting. It's an everlasting life. Okay. Let's just do one. Let's go to John, 1 John 1 and 2. And I'm going to give you a few scriptures. And then we're going to go from there. Shall never die. Glory to God. Almighty God. I love Him. Do you love Him? See, I keep telling everybody I love Him, but the truth is, I don't know how to love Him as much as I love Him. I don't know how to tell you how much I love Him. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and showed to us, showed unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested in who? In us. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? And so it's being manifested in you, and we know that it's the Word of God being made alive in our life. Let's go to 1 John 5, 11 and 12. 1 John 5, 11 and 12. And this is the record that God has given us eternal life, and this life is where? Is in His Son. Give me one more. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath what? Okay, so what's the difference between the Word and the Son? S-O-N. Is there a difference? Yeah. Yeah. Because now he's addressing us as human bodies of people. He's always been eternal. He will always be eternally spirit. It's just, that's the way it is. We don't truly understand eternity yet, but we know that it lasted a long time, longer than we know anything about. Right? Okay, so then go to Revelation 22. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent. 22:1, honey, I think. 22:1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Give me two. And in the midst of the streets of it, and on the other side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and ye yield her fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. My God. Meaning that there was still healing to be done. Wasn't it? Pretty cool. Really, really cool. Okay, now let's just go, because you could read on, and I really don't want to do that. I want to just give you some scriptures here. Go to Revelation 22. And 17. And the Spirit and the bride said, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Now, if you went to John, if you remember John 11... you'd see that he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And if you remember the parable of the lady at the well, you find out that if you drink of this water, you will never thirst again, right? Okay. So let's go to... hallelujah, I just want to catch a few here. Let's go to John 3:36, and I'm going to just couple three more verses, and we're going to, and you could, if you wanted to run this through and just to get a good clearer picture of it, is to take your concordance and start looking at the word life, and start looking at the word eternal, and start just looking, running some of your references, because the words have already been given to us. It's just a matter of us being diligent, doing diligence to look them up. And the scripture, and the Spirit and the bride says, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come. Or let him take of the water of life freely. In other words, there is no short supply of the water. There is no short supply of the Word. So, when you get into a problem, where do you go? What do you do? You open your Bible, or you could even go on the internet and open your Bible at the internet. And that's even more, because you know what? And then run some references on your subject matter. You're going to find out that it speaks much quicker, because we have the helps. Somebody's did the work for us. It's just a matter of us applying what? Doing diligence to what? To the Word. So now are we taking of the water of life freely? Yes. And you're not going to have to toil for this. Not near as much. This is not, I'm not giving you something that isn't in the Word of God, or that's my opinion. I'm just giving you the Scriptures and how they apply. And they apply differently to different situations, but they always bring life to them. They will always free you and bring you into a greater dimension than you've ever been before. Let's go to Romans 4 and 17. Help me, Jesus. And then we're going to do the communion, because this is going to be pretty cool. Romans 4, hallelujah, verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, and even God, who quickeneth the dead, and called those things which are not as though they were. What's he quickening? Us. What's he bringing in us? His purpose, his call, his structure. And Larry, you're doing a good job on Romans. Go to Romans 8. Go to Romans 8 right now. And I'm going to give you just a couple more. And that's going to be it. No, not one. Go to Romans 8, 38 and 39. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, we all know this, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, guess what? How come he didn't say Jesus Christ our Lord? You need to look at that. I'm just bringing it up. I'm sure that you can do better than me on this. It's his anointing. Jesus is a sacrifice paid so that you might have this Christ now that can understand this Jesus that's in you. The sacrifice. All the things that he's paid everything. His blood now is before you all the time. And now this Christ, this anointing, this Christos, this anointed one, hallelujah, is now giving you audience. It's giving you intelligence. It's giving you access. Are you getting this? Hallelujah. I'm not doing it. He has purposed that he would do it to you and for you and in you. Well, Danny, you don't understand. No, I don't want to understand. I don't understand either. That's his mercy and his grace. Even when we are totally in wrong. It will never. Do you think that Israel was in the wrong when Joseph fed them? Absolutely. Absolutely. God provided through Joseph. Or they wouldn't be here. There are times when we're totally wrong. Not in everything. You have to understand some things. But we have so taken on the wrong thing that we're not doing the right thing. And he will always. See, that's what this Christ is. That's what this Christus is. Hallelujah. You can't shoo it away, because you are living in an eternal purpose. You have eternal life on you. And even though, hallelujah, judgment will come. Do you know how it comes? When you totally refuse to listen, and you will not listen, and you're going to go someplace and you're going to hurt yourself, then you have to apply judgment. Only then. I never wanted to discipline my kids like I had to. Hallelujah. And I don't think I'm alone here. I never liked that part of parenting. I never longed for that kind of parenting. But yet it's a part of parenting. Because I did know what they needed. My wife did know what they needed. And you do know, hallelujah. And God knows ahead of us. And sometimes we just got stuck someplace. His mercy endureth forever. Come on, His grace endureth forever. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you this right now. If Israel had the answer, Joseph wouldn't have had to be there. It was the answer came through Joseph. See, I may shock you, but I don't just live in a box of religion. I'm thinking about these things. I'm asking God for understanding. We're not without fault, beloved. But yet, He has provided all things for us, but we must move into that all things. That's our place. And this, Jesus, I'm going to have to pick it up. Is it all right if I pick it up because I want to do the communion? He's got me running and my mind's running and I don't want to. I'm going to pick it up next week. I want to show you. And maybe I'll put a picture up on the board and show you the effectiveness of the temple and its operations. And that there's more than just the inner court there. More than just even the outer court. There's more than that even. That there's actually a perimeter around the outer court. All God's kids. All in different dimensions. All in different faculties of life. But nonetheless, they're all His kids. I got to tell you, you're His kids. Glory to God. Okay. Glory to God. Come on, you guys. We're going to have communion. Just sit there for a minute. I want to read some scripture first, and so you can kind of be seated and comfortable. And then then we'll have communion. But you can bring it up, but just bring it up and then be seated. I've been wanting to do this for some time, and thank God for my wife. Do you thank God for my wife? Hallelujah. You know, I have much going on, and sometimes I get so busy I forget things. And, even these things. But it's been on my heart, and I've told her, and it's been on my heart, and I told her, and I thank God for my wife. And you need to thank her too, because of the excellency, that's where she is. Of the reaching out and of the loving that mamas do. That's where she is. And for that I am so thankful. I'm thankful that I'm married and that I have a wife. And that she's thinking not just about me, but about you too. Because it's important that we do have communion, that we do take holy sacraments. But I'm just going to read something to you. And so I'm going to try and just stand here so I can read it, so it's not all over, so my eyes will focus it. Because I'm not going to do this with big screen. I'm going to do this with little screen, the Bible, and paper. Let's open up our Bibles to John, the 6th chapter. And we're going to start with verse 41. And I'm just going to read a little bit. Then the people began to murmur in disagreement because He had said, I am the bread that cometh down from heaven. And they said, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph? We know His father and His mother. How can He say, I come down from heaven? Kind of alarming, isn't it? Hallelujah. Honey, and I want the kids up here too for this. Okay, thank you. But Jesus replied, the 43rd verse, stop complaining about what I said. For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And at that last day, I will raise them up, as it is written in the Scriptures. They will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from Him comes to me. Not that anyone has ever seen the Father, only I, who was sent from God, have seen Him. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes has eternal life. Got that? Yes, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And this bread, which I offer to the world, may live, is my flesh. Then the people began arguing with each other again what he meant. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? They asked. You ever have things like that kind of happen to you and you have an answer? You need to do what he did here. So Jesus said, I got something to say here. I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise that person at the last day, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. I live because of a living Father who sent me. In the same way, anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. I am the true bread that comes down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die as your ancestors did, even though they ate of the manna, but will live forever. And he said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue of Capernaum. If you want to finish reading that, you will find out that many disciples left him because of that statement. Right there. Because of a misinterpretation. They really didn't know who he was. And in my heart is that this word has come to you, and it came straight out of God through me to you this morning. And get to do what I thought I was going to do, but I believe it came straight out of my heart to you to let you know that eternal life exists within you and that this bread and this water he was talking about was spiritual. And that the bread that he was talking about was his word being manifested in you. Living in you and through you. And his blood was actually the essence. You know, like, and I hope I'm using the right words, and if I'm not, English, help me. You know, I believe it was the aroma. I believe it was the essence of life in itself. You see, they're still looking. Please don't think that Jesus is ever going to come back and be the Redeemer again. He did it once for all, and he's never going to do it again as a man. But when he departed and sat back on his throne, his influence was no longer physical. Can you understand that? But now it became spiritual, life-giving, where these life-giving properties of intelligence, of understanding, of life as an essence, of whole being, of moral and structural behavior. You can't see that unless it's demonstrated by people. But you can understand it if you read it. You can understand it if you have some way of bringing those words to life. But He has given it to us. It's no less Jesus. It's now the very Father of all things now is that indwelling in you you can't see. It's invisible, but it's alive in you. You manifest it time and time and time again. But sometimes we get in a press where we forget. Or we think, well, this doesn't have anything to do with God. Everything about you has to do with God. Everything. On the earth, for you, everything. He has purposed this. God has. And so He wants you to live like this. One more scripture. Oh, Jesus, you got to help me. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, He talks about all the people before Jesus that were in Him. Didn't receive the promise. What promises? It's plural. What promises? Everlasting life. In every dimension. But they believed onto it, and they received it when He went into the grave. All those that believed. So praise the Lord. Come on. Come on, beloved. Hallelujah. Let's straighten this out. It's bugging me. Hallelujah. I don't like squeezing it in the middle. So I like it straight. Huh? Just like this. The table straightened up a little bit. Let's move it a little bit forward. So I got a little room. Okay. Thank you. Hallelujah. Where's... Come on, Larry. Hallelujah. Almighty God. It is so wonderful to just to have the privilege to just speak about these things. And just maybe give us just maybe a little different insight than what we already know. Hallelujah. So I'm just going to turn to it real quick. And Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Yeah, no, I'll just take that. Yes, please. I'm just going to wait for a minute for the children. You know, in 1 Corinthians 11, it says to not to take it unworthily. And God forgive us for being so cold-hearted and sometimes thinking that usually something happens or when some part of our weakness pops up and And even with encouraging words sometimes of our spouses or even ourselves, our own minds, we'll cut ourselves off from taking it. That's not what it means at all. He knows when you're hurting. He knows when you're in need. He just wants you to simply recognize it. And say, I'm sorry, Lord. You don't need a trail of repentance. You don't need a bunch of religious things to hold you back. And so in this very moment of just thinking, just giving ourselves to the Lord, if there's anything that you need to repent of, that you feel you do, just do it right now. That's all you have to do, just right now. Father, take our shortcomings, or whatever it might be, oh God. Lord, try to speak louder than your word. We give it to you, Lord. We so are looking forward to this experience of taking your and eating of your flesh, drinking of your blood. Thank you for the opportunity. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You'll have the one we knew first. Hallelujah. Bless the bread, please.
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you came down from heaven, that you broke your body. You broke the bread and gave it to the 5,000. You broke the bread and gave it to the 7,000. Lord, you broke your bread on the cross. You broke your body on the cross and gave it to the whole world. Lord, we just accept it now and receive it and the life that comes with it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Oh, mighty God. Mighty God. We love you, Lord Jesus. Stand now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though you were dead, yet shall he live. Hallelujah. He truly wants us to partake of the waters of life freely and of his life. And so we're learning about this more and more as we communicate one with another. Hallelujah. And set our hearts towards him. So praise the Lord. Larry, if you'll pray over his blood sacrifice, over his blood, please.
Dear Lord, we're so grateful for the blood that was shed by the Lord Jesus Christ. So grateful for the blood that was spilled, Lord. So grateful for his stripes, Lord God, by which we are healed. So grateful for the remission of sins and our redemption, Lord God, by the shedding of the blood. Thank you for our Lord. We thank you for the sacrifice, Lord God. We thank you for your love, that you would send your only begotten Son to save us, Lord God, from the death that we did deserve. Thank you for eternal life through this shedding of blood, Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just let me read this passage and hallelujah, share with you. You can expect healing in your body, soul and mind, and in your situations. Just take it today. For I pass unto you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which was given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Hallelujah. Glory to God. They would further, and in this epistle they learned the importance of it. In the same way, He took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup of the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement, an affirmation, with my blood, hallelujah, do this in remembrance of me." Hallelujah. 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 Let's just praise Him. Let's just praise Him. Father, we praise You. We praise You, Lord. We praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. Mighty God, we praise You. We praise You. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, thank You, thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus. As we dismiss, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you if there's anything upon you in any way that you'll let it go now. If there's any troubling in your spirit, in your heart, in your mind, whatever it might be, give it to Him. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Give it to Him. Whatever you're complaining about, whatever situation you're in you don't want to be in, give it to Him. Hallelujah. He'll come. He'll come. Father, thank You for what we can't even explain. Even though You've come. But thank You for being an eternal God. Thank You for being a spirit that's not just comprised to a body. Thank You. That You can touch all of us at the same time and run Your universe as well. So for this, oh God, we want to thank You. We pray, oh God, that the workings of our obedience towards You will start now in all of our lives more abundantly. Go with each one and keep us, oh God, in Your will, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.